everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. I'm an intuitive speech pathologist and functional language facilitation expert. And I'm here to help parents and caregivers navigate the challenging space of caring for and raising up a child who's not talking yet. Today's episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast is just one of hundreds that I've created for parents and caregivers to learn how to connect with their late talking child and facilitate the behavior, social skills, and speech development that they need to be successful in the world. You will learn strategies designed to help parents prove to yourself just how powerful you can be as your child's functional language facilitator. Hello, facilitators, and welcome to a new year of facilitation. It's 2024, and as usual, here I am on Thursday afternoon to share some language facilitation and functional facilitation information with you. So today I'm going to be talking about the functional facilitation mindset. And I chose this topic because I want you to start your year out right. And I have found after working with thousands of parents of kids who are not talking yet, the key is this idea of a functional mindset. This is what helps you make progress faster than speech therapy. And my first book, If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun, Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy, is all based on the premise that parents are the best natural functional facilitators because you have the opportunity every day to be in the house with your child doing that functional facilitation. So let's get into today's topic. We're going to be talking about this functional facilitation. And before, of course, we get into it, I want to introduce you to a new opportunity. If you believe that your child has virtual autism, you may have found this channel through that video, and they have the same symptoms as autism, but you don't believe it is, I've got a 3-month catch-up program ready for you. We're going to be talking about speech evolution. This is for kids who are already saying words. They might be stuck in echolalia or things like that, and they may be able to label the things that they want, but they're not using speech functionally. This is who this 3-month program is for. We're going to identify and eliminate the environmental blockages, including the video and whatever else has replaced it potentially that isn't human interactive functional facilitation. And I'm going to show you how to address your child's anxiety and frustration, which always go along with virtual autism. And it's the child's anxiety and frustration that make those symptoms look worse. So when the child's anxiety and frustration decreases, so do the symptoms. And then I also will help you shift the child out of echolalia and scripting and advance their skills beyond these labels to actual functional speech. And that's my goal for this 3-month catch-up program for you virtual autism parents out there. And you can catch this program for $920. It's cheaper than any kind of therapy that you would have with much better progress. You get coaching meetings and workshops and handouts and all the email support, everything you need to help your child move forward. So that's what we're going to do. And the way that you access this program is there on my website at wavesofcommunication.com. So head over there, click that red button right there on that says virtual autism support, and you can learn more about that program. All right, let's talk about the functional facilitation mindset. Today, we're going to be talking about how to go about the process of facilitating the functional speech that your child wants. And this is what we're going to be covering today. Why a functional mindset matters most. It doesn't matter. It matters more than the child's delay. It matters more than the previous experiences you've had. It matters more than the amount of video time. the mindset of the facilitator matters most. And you're going to find out why and also how to be a functional facilitator, as well as some mindset management strategies, because I know it can be challenging to maintain this mindset. And your mindset is the attitude that helps you decide your next right action. And especially when things get messy and you get triggered, right? And I know that parents are bombarded with propaganda and pressure from outside influences, including family, friends, the internet, and professionals that will try to take your mindset out of independent ability and into whatever thing they're offering, their therapy, their zappers, their ADHD meds, their vitamin stuff, their picture boards, whatever. Okay. And these things take you out of your facilitator mindset. And I don't want that to happen to you because of this pressure, because autism diagnosis is being marketed. It literally is being marketed to you as the best identity to get for your late talkers. That's how adults are identifying with being autistic. And this autism propaganda for little kids is intentionally created to influence fear and worry onto you so that you parents accept this autism misdiagnosis and fix my kid mindset that is projected by those professionals. And when you buy into that stuff, you give up your functional facilitation mindset. And I don't want that to happen because mindset will make or break your success as a functional facilitator. If your facilitation activity isn't fun, then the child's experience isn't fun. And when it isn't fun, it isn't fun. And there is no progress going on. If you haven't seen that book, the If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun book, it talks about a 7-year-old child who was diagnosed with autism, and the diagnosis got more severe as the child was put into more highly structured therapy and the therapy was brought into the child's home. He literally started bashing walls and becoming aggressive until his mom found functional facilitation and helped him give all of that up. Because remember, it was his worry and fear and anxiety from the therapy that wasn't matching with him and the parents giving up the job to these therapists. It was only when the parents take the functional facilitation job back that that child in the book, as well as every other child that I've worked with, starts to make change on their own. Remember, we cannot make a child do anything, let alone change their whole way of communicating. You can't make them talk more. You can't, you know, you can shut them down, but then how is that helping them develop and evolve, right? So that's what I want to help you with, is to get back into that. And your mindset will make or break it. So you can access this book. The link is in the description. If you haven't seen or listened to the fun book, you can get it. And just so you know, the speech tips and mouth exercises that you see are never needed. You don't need to do those things, especially if the child doesn't like them. When you look at how is this situation that you see here in this video ever going to help this child develop functional speech? This is 500 steps away from a child telling you what you want. And if you've been doing those things, it's okay. Because sometimes you try your hardest based on what you knew, what you learned, the propaganda you read, whatever. And you tried it, but then the things don't work out the way you want them to. And sometimes you need to change. And maybe those changes are for the better. So you can let go, like Lilo and Stitch here, Lilo and her big sister are letting go of the things that don't work for them. Because a functional facilitator's mindset is different than a professional therapist, teacher, or anybody who works with late talking children. It's different. And there are two key differences that will help you remember the right mindset to facilitate functional speech evolution. These two things are what sets a functional mindset apart. And here's number one. A functional facilitator equips and empowers the child's ability to talk about what they want. There is no withholding objects or activity to get speech. You can have the cookie when you say cookie. There's no after you do this boring activity that you don't like, then we can go and play on the balls. There's no withholding. There's no repetitive prompted imitation of words. There's no questions or tests to determine progress. And there's no hand-over-hand assistance. If you are being functional, you're equipping and empowering the child to talk about what they want. And think about how different these things are from the therapy experiences that your child has had, or even the experiences that you have been giving to your child. Withholding, repetitive prompting, questions and testing, and hand over hand, we're going to call it assistance, but mostly it's just prompting or forcing, right? So a facilitator never has to use any of these things because they use attraction and functional activity to entice the child to come in. And a functional mindset responds to all behavior, every single behavior, the tantrum, the eye roll, the kisses, the dragging you around, as intentional communication. So there's no shutting down tantrums with goodies or bribing them. Oh, I'll just give you the thing that you want. Because that's not teaching the child. So we work through tantrums. There is no shutting down anything, and there is no bribing anyone, no need with a functional mindset, because the child is motivated to learn from you, that you don't need to bribe any kind of participation. And there's no punishment for communication behavior. If a child gets angry and slugs you, your job is to dig in to find out why it happens, not chastise them for showing their feelings in the only way they know how, right? Because remember, these kids don't have words to use their words. And there's no judging for their gestalt scripts or echolalia or repetition or self-talk, any of that stuff as abnormal. Because these are ways, when you're a functional facilitator, you use these things to facilitate the child's shift. And there's no ignoring or correcting of speech attempts because the child is trying their best and you want them to continue trying, but the functional mindset helps you move through these things. So those two key differences, folks, is what sets you aside from therapists, and those two key differences are what helps you see progress fast. I mean, in days. You could see progress the same day if you have a child who has virtual autism, who has a ton of labels. They're labeling all the things. They're using echolalia. They're singing songs. They're saying things. And when they want something, you know exactly what they want. They are coming to you. They're bringing you the pan and the egg, right? These are the kids we're talking about here. These kids with virtual autism that just don't have speech. They are speech delayed. Is something wrong? Yes. They're developing their own language based on these echolalic phrases and the gestures they're using and the facial expressions and all the things that you understand. Because remember, you know what they want. You know how they want it. You know why they want it. You know these things because you have been intuitively connected with this child since they were born. And now they're getting bigger and they've got things to say, and they are finding the way to get you to understand them. If you don't understand your child, then this is when you definitely, you know, get tempted to give it away. I don't know what that means. I don't know. You start judging just like the therapist, and then you start talking to other people. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? What do you think that is? And that's not a functional facilitator mindset. That's not you using the function of your child's speech to teach them how to evolve it into a functional spoken language that everybody can understand and not just you. Okay? So these are the two, right? Those two things, talking about what the child wants to learn and empowering them to be independent with these things. Okay? So and the reality is it has to be balanced because you can't give in to everything they want. because that's not helpful for them either, right? You have to have positive, yes, this is fun and amazing, but it also has to be realistic. We know what the child's capabilities are, and you don't want to ask them to do more than their current capabilities because then they'll shut down. And it has to be realistic for you. You can't give up your sleep, your eat, your energy, all that stuff just to make a child do something. It has to be positive and realistic. Your balanced mindset has to be both flexible. Yes, I understand that you want 5 cookies, but it has to involve negotiation. You can have 2 cookies today and then 2 cookies tomorrow and have cookies every day. So unless you're using flexible negotiation, you can be flexible and let the child take the lead sometimes, but only within the boundaries that you have. And then you have helpful. You're helpful to the child, but you're also empowering them to do it themselves. You're not doing things for them that they could learn to do on their own. You're expecting them to do things properly as well, right? Now, it might take time to help them learn to do it exactly properly the way you want, but you understand that and you offer them the boundaries and support in your structured, whatever functional activity you choose to teach them these things, but it's got to be balanced. Nobody's making anybody do anything because remember, if you're not making your child do things, right? We all have done it. Trust me. I know that you've done it. We all did it. I made my kids do things. And when you're not making them do things, if that's the only way you go about it, what happens is they start making you do things. They start withholding from you. They start putting the judgment on you. Well, no, they start saying no. They start refusing. They start getting aggressive. They start saying they don't agree in their own way with these things you expect and make them to do. And the solve to that is you explain to them why, because every time you explain to a child why they can't have 5 cookies with an explanation of when they can have cookies again, and yes, they've got to wait, but you're going to help them wait, and you're going to help make this suffering, you know, until they get the thing they want, their best situation. That's the only thing you can do to help, right? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how to be, right? Because this balanced mindset is where it starts, right? I'm going into this with the intention of facilitating and helping my child, right? And functional facilitators trust. So you go in, you teach, and you trust that the natural process is working. So you don't ever need to make your child do anything. And the speech development work feels super fun for the child when they learn to trust that you are all in to help them enjoy a successful life. Like, look at how happy this little boy is just to see his mom excited about eating a cookie. He gave her the cookie and she loves it and she wants him to join too. Yummy. We're doing this together. This is a cooperative experience that this child loves, and he knows his mom is there to help him have the best time ever while they're eating this cookie. She's reacting and responsive, right? And your facilitator mindset will also elevate as you become confident and trust yourself as well as the natural process. Because if you get tempted to go back to the old stuff, it'll go down. But the way you help, you see, as a functional facilitator is so much more influential than expert professionals who claim to be able to make kids sit or comply or behave or talk. Do you want a compliant child or do you want an independent child? Because functional facilitation teaches kids while they learn what they want, how to do those things, behave and talk. And functional activities that both are parent-led, like this emptying the dishwasher or filling the dishwasher situation, or child-led, like let's decorate daddy. We're going to put the makeup on daddy because they know something about makeup and dad is teaching through this experience. There's trials and errors in these experiences. There's ups and downs. There's fun and struggles and problems and challenges and all those things that you have to solve right there in the moment. What if the plate's too heavy? What if it's dirty? What if she can't reach something? And then you can also talk about the colors of the plates, and that's my favorite cup and all of that stuff. And here on the right, here is a dad giving up his boundaries to let that flexibility go, but he'll only push so far, right? You can only color on my face. We keep the makeup off the clothes. You know, there are rules and boundaries about the kinds of activities, but these kids are in. They're here. They're participating, they're joining, and they are enjoying the experience of filling the dishwasher or just spending time with daddy and mommy's lipstick, right? So why not? Why not prove that you are here to help your child by using these experiences? And the most impactful mindset habit change any facilitator can make, of course, is to swap out that prompting the child to talk with functional speech models. You're talking about this experience, this functional time you're having together, all the good, the fun things you see, and all the problems and struggles that you face. Because prompting and correcting speech during these times will always delay or completely block the functional speech from emerging because they're not paying attention, right? They're thinking about the dishwasher and the makeup. They're not thinking about how to say lipstick with a K on the end, if that's what you're trying to do, right? You'll find the way to do it. So just as a tip here to stop prompting performance, these are the most common prompting things that you might find yourself saying. Do you want to eat? Tell me yes or no. And the tell me yes or no is probably what you're thinking, even if you don't say it out loud, because you just want the child to say yes or no so you understand speech and they sound more like, excuse me, more like other kids. And then this do it. Ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, go. If all your child is hearing from you is do it and ready, steady, go, how will they learn the functional language they need? This is all the compliance language, right? Show me a happy face and then go get the yellow block and go in the other room and get the purple sweater off my bed as a way to test your child's understanding, right? And these little non-necessary, non-functional directions, show me a happy face. And that's not what we say to kids. That's not how we talk to kids. Kids will show you a happy face if you make them happy, right? They'll get the yellow block if it fits in their puzzle or it matches their building or whatever. They're not going to get it just because you said to go grab a yellow block and bring it to you. For what? It's not functional, right? Here's the other one. Say that you want. Say what you want. Say what you want. I want cookie. You know, you might be imitating or modeling those things because you like to hear it. And when your child says it, then you believe they mean it. But in reality, whenever you do this kind of stuff, your child's just parroting words that they don't mean just to get you to give them stuff, right? And then there is this, what is your name? And what are you doing? You know the answers to these questions. You literally know their name. You gave it to them. And you know what they're doing because you're watching them play with the train or the bear or the plastic bag or whatever they're doing. So you can give a lot more information instead of asking these questions that you already know the answers to. So that's the difference. And then this, what does the cow say? Cow says moo. You know, those are the prompting things that happen a lot when parents are stuck in the mindset of a therapist. Okay. So functional facilitation models better ways to communicate. You don't need to pull words out of your child. They will give them to you freely when you give them words first, right? You're going to talk and explain everything you are doing together instead of asking questions. You're going to show and share your personal experience. Look what I have. Look what I did. Look what I like. Look what I'm doing. Look what this is did. Oh, that's not nice. Your situation you were going to share instead of prompting and taking. You're going to show and share. You're going to model and assist instead of testing. Can you do it? Can you do it on your own? Can you do it now? Can you do it when I ask, right? You're going to use trial and error learning instead of expecting perfection. Perfection. You're going to say, hey, oops, that didn't work out. Guess we shouldn't fill it that full again. Maybe we should only fill it halfway. You're going to respond with love instead of judgment, because your child is going to react with behavior because that's the only way they know how to communicate. And you're going to say, wow, you're really upset. Let's talk about why you're upset and why that happens and what I can do to help you make you feel better. because facilitators who shift into functional activities are always amazed at how quickly the late talkers pick up new speech. And the key is to pay attention to the intention behind the words that you are saying as the facilitator, right? There you go. Keep your words functional and applicable to the child's thinking in the present moment. That's what it takes, right? It's because if they're thinking about something right now, then you can talk about that thing right now. And you focus on your connection with the child to offer speech models that they'll want to pick up. They're playing with clay. Look, the mom made a ball and she put it on top. Look, this is how I make a person. And this little girl's watching and looking and learning as if she was in a class, right? And this is the mom or the facilitator here who is working with this child to teach them things they want to do on their own. I want to make a person. Okay, let me show you how. Okay. And this is how functional facilitation works, to teach the kids what they want to know. They might not even know they want to know it yet, but when you demonstrate fun ideas, they're going to pick them up because your mindset decides how and why you act. So your mindset also decides the outcomes that you're going to ultimately facilitate. Okay. And parents of late talkers can have difficulty maintaining a facilitator mindset. This is why parents work with me, because parents are so emotionally invested in the child being okay and catching up ASAP that they forget their natural influence. Okay. And I don't want you to forget your natural influence. You are the best facilitator. You're with your child all the time. You know what these things mean, even though they're not literal meanings. There's messages behind all of these feelings and behaviors and tantrums and loves and cuddles and swiping the cookies out of the cabinet. There is meaning behind all of them. Meaning, I would talk if you would teach me the words that go with this. And instead of reacting and punishing or shutting down or doing for, oh no, you want eggs, let me fix the eggs without any more talking. That's how you lose your opportunity for functional facilitation. When you're not in the right mindset, when you're in the right mindset, every single time your child approaches you with the egg in the pan or dragging you into the other room or just standing in the middle of the room crying for what seems like no reason, now you know what to do when you're a functional facilitator. You know how to work with every communication your child gives you in a functional way. And that's what I teach to parents, okay? So, and that's what works, right? I was a therapist for decades using all those other tips and tricks, bribing kids, withholding things, keeping my favorite toys, waiting for the end, making them do things, using hand over hand. I did all that stuff as a therapist. It wasn't until I started equipping empowering parents to be functional facilitators that I saw parents making faster progress than I ever could as a therapist. And that's why I wrote that fun book, because it is true. You can teach your child to talk, behave, shift their behavior into speaking systematically through your functional activities. It's not as difficult as you might think. So I want to encourage you to do that, because I don't forget how powerful your natural functional influence is. You are the parent. You're the one who's with this child all the time. So feelings of guilt, worry, shame, and frustration and fear of the child's future. I don't know what they're doing. This is the triggers that trigger a panic mindset that take parents out of their functional mindset and turn them into, I got to make the kid do it because I need this progress to happen faster so that I feel better about my child's future, right? And I don't want you to become impatient for speech and choose the wrong strategies. I want you to have fun every day using the right strategies, because you may feel stuck in unhelpful prompting habits that you tried to make your child's autism symptoms stop. You just want the symptoms to stop, right? So remember, just like Lilo and her big sister, you can let go of panic, worry, fear, and even the pressurized strategies that come with that mindset. I've got to do this. I've got to do it now. I've got to make this kid improve, or he's not going to get into school. People will keep judging him. He's going to get that autism diagnosis that I don't want. You know, all that stuff. right? You can let go to become functional facilitators when you learn for yourself just how easy it is to connect with your child and facilitate the speech and social skills and behavior they need. It's a lot easier to learn how to do that when you're in the functional mindset first. You got to let go of that stuff, that worry, because it just gets in the way. And you can learn exactly everything you need to become your child's best functional facilitator at wavesofcommunication.com. I've got an entire library of videos and ways for you to work. And you can sign up to work with me and get my free Get Started Guide. Just try it and see for yourself how we do these things. Okay. So there is the question. And I see that we did get a question come in and from Sha. Hello, should we give the mobile to a virtual autism child or not? Because now I stopped giving the mobile to my child. Well, the reality is if your child has had a lot of video exposure, let's give you some guidelines. Below 1 year of age, they had it for an hour a day or more, below one. And then after one, they've had it for more than 2 or 3 hours. If your child has had daily exposure to video, cumulative, not all in one time, of more than 2 or 3 hours, and they're older than 2 years old, then you need to start to detox your child from the video time by replacing it with facilitation. So should you give your child the mobile? You should never give your child the mobile and leave them with it. Not after you've discovered that it was that situation. You give the TV, the tablet, the mobile. You left your child with that device for alone with the device for 2 or 3 hours or more. If that happened in your life when your child is younger than 1 or 2 or 3 years old, that means they missed the primary language learning that they needed to get from people. Because in those 2 or 3 hours, that was the time your child was alone, and guaranteed the other times that you were with your child, you were doing things. You were active. You were making them eat. You were making them get dressed. You were making them go places. You were facilitating their moving through the day, right? And so that's functional activity. And what you do is you replace that video time that you gave your child the device by themselves to sit by themselves. Now, you're going to teach them something in your house. You're going to teach them how to take care of themselves. You're going to teach them how to take care of the house, the pets, the plants, each other, you, grandpa. You're going to teach them how to be a part of your household and not them in a room on a device and you somewhere else, maybe on another device. Okay. So should you give your child ever a tablet and leave them alone with it? No, not if you've had that experience. And if you do give your child the mobile after you've identified this is a problem, then you always watch with them and you watch things that you can talk about with them. If you're silently watching a screen alongside your child, it's the same as leaving them alone with the screen. But if you are together with your child and looking at something on television, it better be functional, F-U-N, functional. I like it, but it's also teaching us something. That's why I watch videos. If it's not teaching me anything or it's telling me something I already know, I click off. That happened to people watching this video right here. People who started it thinking, Marcy's going to tell me something I don't know, but they've already watched other mindset videos. This is not the first time I've talked about the functional facilitator mindset, but I keep talking about it because parents have a hard time staying with it because they get triggered, right? You get triggered by, should I or shouldn't I do those things? Or you might even be triggered by what you did in the past, feeling guilty, worry, right? All that stuff. There's no need to maintain any of that. Just start today. Start now. This is why the first video of the new year is about your mindset, because that's where it starts. I can give you examples of what fun therapy looks like and not fun therapy looks like. I probably will. As a matter of fact, I've got some videos prepared to show you those things, but none of that matters. The activity that you do, the thing you choose, the puzzle, the dishwasher, the makeup with dad, that stuff that you choose is based on your relationship with your child. If you choose, I think my child would like this. Why? Why do you think they would like it? How do you know they would like it? Did you check? Have you confirmed? Do you even know your child's primary preferences? And if you do, that's what you use. And there is no need to give your child a mobile. So should you give your child a mobile to learn from? No, not if you want them to develop functional speech that they can use with everybody, other people, right? Because they're learning stuff on the phone that they're using with you, that you're interpreting, you're accommodating this child's language. All parents of lay talkers do this. You're accommodating the current today communication that your lay talker is using. That's how you get through the day. That's how you know they're going to have a tantrum if they don't get there, whatever, or they're going to be cranky, or they're going to be tired, or they're going to be hungry. They're going to, because you've been facilitating their existence since they were born. Why don't you facilitate their spoken language? Just because you missed the opportunity because you gave your child videos before, it's not too late, because I teach parents to activate neuroplasticity, right? And that virtual autism 3-month program that I have going is hardcore. You're not going to be able to get away with, you know, letting your child use the phone 2 hours a day. Not if you're working with me. I'm going to help you figure out how can you take that 2 or 3 hours away from the videos and put it into your experiences. And if your child has had more, you know, your kiddo is one of those that's had 9 or 10 hours a day of video time because you don't know how to handle it. Maybe they're older. You know, I've got a mom that I just am learning about who's got a 10-year-old late talker in Australia who is using their home language. So it's an Indian family, immigrated Indian family. It's not uncommon for them to speak their home language at home and send their child out to therapy that is speaking the language of the environment. In Australia, it's English. And this child knows English, but he's not using it functionally because the functional language he hears is at home from his parents in his native language. That's what he hears, full sentences and explanations, when he overhears, this 10-year-old child overhears other people talking to each other, right? He's picking up language. 10-year-old kid, of course he is, especially if they're talking about him. He's listening. But because he's nonverbal, people don't give him credit. They think they're stones or rocks or statues or stuffed animals or something, that they don't understand what people are saying just because they can't talk. Right? And they can't use language functionally. But this kid is using an English. All he knows is echolalic phrases that he's memorized because there's no one speaking English in his world, either at school or at home, to teach him the functional English he needs. So literally, that's what's going on with this 10-year-old child who keeps increasing his anxiety and frustration because people keep talking down to him and treating him like a baby, when in fact, this 10-year-old child knows a lot, a lot. He knows everything that's going on around him. He just can't say it yet because he's too stuck in his anxiety and worry to listen to people who are using the same old prompts and guidance. Go, here it is, do it. Here it is, do it. At 10 years old, they're not teaching any new stuff. They expect this kid to know and perform, especially at his school. And that's why it's frustrating for them. So, yeah, I know it's a big question mark. What do I do with my kiddo? The reality is you can do things all day long, and it's things that you didn't think that you could do with your child because someone told you they were incapable. He doesn't understand. He can't follow directions. He doesn't understand anything. He can't learn complex language. You have to talk in single words only because his brain can't process sentences. All of that is bunk and garbage. That's what people say when they have to minimize the child's experience to the point where they can perform a single activity so they can put it on their data sheet. He can point, he can touch, he can whatever, tick, 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 but he can't talk, X. And this is what happens when it's not functional. right? So like I said, I can give you examples of what functional and non-functional therapy looks like, but I want you to try this week. Next week, I've got some video examples I'll bring for you. We're preparing them now to keep everything secret and stuff to protect identities, because you know, it's not very fun what some of this has to go through, but I want you to see what's going on out there in therapy. And I used to think that these things didn't happen until I got videos from parents that they sent that showed these frustrating and anxiety causing situations. So Monica says you can look at the mobile together, make videos together and talk about them, for example. And this is the best way if you're going to use a mobile. If your child has had a lot of video exposure, they like the video and they want the video. So when you use it together with them, this is an amazing functional way to use your video. You're always taking videos anyway. If you're not, you should be, because this is how we save our memories of our child. You don't have to post them online. Save them for yourself and share them with your child. Sit together on the sofa with your mobile, watching the experience of you, in Monica's case, going out to the lake and swimming, or picking through the ice, because I know she's in Sweden, so there's not much swimming going on right now. But how deep is the snow? What kind of snowman did you build? How are you dealing with your coats and your hats and all of that stuff that you did? And what are other people doing with the big snow and the cold? And how are they reacting and all that stuff? You can take videos of all these functional things and share with your kids, okay? So there's no need to withhold technology, keep them locked in a drawer or whatever, because you use them all the time. They're just, you have to normalize the connection with your child, reconnect, right? That's the very first video in my virtual autism workshop, is how to reconnect with a child who's been connected to Peppa Pig or Blippi or Bluey or Cocomelon or any one of their other friends that they have, you know, Bear and Masha. They love these guys because they're the ones your kid has made connection with. And you want them to connect with you because you can functionally facilitate the improvement. These little mini exposures, even therapy is a mini exposure. They get one time a week, somebody to come and play with them in a structured way that's making them say words. You have to go to a lot of those sessions and before even the therapist will shift over into something more functional than labels and let's say this cards or let's read this book or let's do this puzzle or let's match these shapes, find the blue square, find the red thing, get the comb, get the book, get the bangle, get the thing. You know, how long do you want to wait for functional speech? Because the longer you are in sessions that exist on labels, that's all they're doing is making your kid move their mouth, business, like I showed in that video, or the kinds of things they're doing, you know, with just these one-step directions, just so they can tick that your child is participating. But remember, these least preferred activities, I'm using those in quotes because these are the slang terms. Sitting tolerance, eye contact, won't do least preferred activities. Why should a child do a least preferred activity? I know I don't like to take out the trash. I don't like to, you know, get out of bed when it's cold. There's a lot of things in the world that we have to do that are not so preferred, but we don't have to do non-functional things, right? We don't have to do labeling picture cards. We don't have to identify all the kitchen items. We don't have to pick out all the blue squares or sort them. That doesn't make our life functional at all. But brushing our teeth does, watering the plants does, feeding the dog, picking up after the dog, wrapping holiday presents, giving a cup of tea to grandma. These are the activities of your life that are functional. And it makes it a lot more fun, especially when you're caring for other people. So that's, you know, one of the other caveats that makes this really functional is that somebody appreciates what you're doing. When you teach your child, they appreciate that you're sharing your knowledge and wisdom with them. You're not testing them. You're not pulling things out of them. You're not making them do stuff. You're just sharing your experience. Look what I can do, right? And when you see a child who's learning and enjoying, they're on the playground, they're climbing the slide, they're doing those things, and they say, look at me, mom. Or maybe they can't say look, but they come or they look at you and they drag you because they want you to be with them. while they're learning and exploring on the playground. They want you to push them on the swing so that they can feel the feeling of going really high and have you talk about it at the same time. So they can learn while they're enjoying. They can learn the language too. Okay, the things they want. This is what a facilitator, functional facilitator, those two things. You teach a child what they want and you don't judge their behavior. You help them shift their behavior from the communication behavior they are using every day right now into the speech that you know they need. And so do they. They know they can't talk very well. That's why they shut down in public. That's why they don't make friends. That's why they isolate at the preschool. When people talk down to them and label them, they don't be in that crowd. They don't want to play with it. They'd rather be in their own mind, remembering that Peppa Pig episode that they've watched 500 million times. Okay. And this is what the life of a kid with virtual autism, when they're treated like they're dumb, they'll turn it right back around. When they're manipulated, they'll turn it right back around. These are smart kids that know street smarts. They just can't talk because they haven't been talked to. So your facilitator mindset is all about equipping and empowering your child. And if you want to be equipped and empowered, my mindset is to equip and empower you. So visit wavesofcommunication.com. Look at the counseling. Check it out. I've put a lot of information on that website to just show you the potential of how powerful you are. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today on another video. And I will see you next week for more natural, functional speech and behavior facilitation ideas. Thanks so much for joining me, and bye for now. I hope you have been inspired to have fun with your late talker and take some new action on your functional language facilitation journey. You can learn more about the functional language facilitation resources at my website, wavesofcommunication.com. Get your journey started now with my free Get Started guide and weekly newsletter. Parents and caregivers worldwide are seeing remarkable functional progress way faster than relying on therapy, and I want you to achieve the same outcomes with your child. There are hundreds of valuable strategies in these recordings, and your child is waiting for you to become their best functional language facilitator. I'll be back next week with more strategies. Bye for now.